Football Friday.
A miscue in the backfield. Colorado has it. Broussard reaching for the end zone.
Ryan's going to take a shot on first down.
Vaughn was even with the football. He sacked him.
Locked under pressure. Throwing over the middle, intercepted. And it looked like Drew Lock just put that one up for grabs.
Here's Brady Hall.
Football Friday continues here. 5 minutes after the hour. Yeah. First Advantage text line 31996. 31996. Text KFKA to that number. Get involved. I want your predictions for Broncos Raiders week coming up. It is a lot of you, I think, are abandoning hope of the playoffs, whether it's this team's too young, you don't believe in Vic Fangio, or the injuries you can't overturn. I'm still in this thing. I'm still believing that this team can do it. I know that you're looking back at the wins and that Chargers win now, or coming back and beating the Chargers is really the Broncos' claim to fame because the Patriots look pretty bad and the Jets are bad. But you got a situation where you can pull yourself back up. You can get in this thing if you find a way to do it. Key matchup, of course, Darren Waller taking on Justin Simmons. That, to me, is a monster matchup. You got to watch closely. Tight end Darren Waller, he leads the team in receptions, leads the team in yards. He's second on the team in touchdowns. He has 50 receptions as a tight end, 394 yards, 4 touchdowns. So he's an absolute terror back there. You got to watch out for him. You know, they're kind of a spread out wide receiver unit. You know, Hunter Renfrow, Nelson Aguilar, and now Henry Ruggs, the rook. You got a lot of weapons that maybe aren't the best receivers in the league overall, but you know, they're just kind of spread out. You like the depth there. You look at some of the things that the Raiders do well. That's where, again, you got to be careful here. The Raiders rank second in third down conversions. They convert 50% of the time, 51% of the time. Broncos are going to have to watch that. They're going to have to be ready because even come up with some big plays, maybe get a sack on Derek Carr, stop a big second down or something. The Raiders are very good at converting third, even third and longs. They're still pretty good there. And then, well, a lot of that's because Derek Carr. You know, he's not, like I said, he's not lighting up the league. He's thrown for 2,000 yards. It's okay. You know, it's pretty good. 16 touchdowns, but 2 interceptions. His completion percentage is 70%. He's 5th in the NFL, 5th best rating at 110. So Derek Carr's good. He's a really good quarterback, and he's perfect. I think Zach Stevens said it in the first hour. He is perfect for this Raiders offense. He makes perfect sense. This is a team that's going to run the ball. They're going to get their tight end involved. Josh Jacobs is 3rd in the NFL. Love his story, by the way. 3rd in the NFL at just about 600 yards. And then you have the story of Devontae Booker. you wonder if this is going to be a motivational type game for him. He's had a decent season as a number 2. But, yeah, that offense is, you know, they're just solid. They don't make a lot of mistakes overall. Defensively, that's where you got to see. And, again, you can't fall asleep in the first quarter. You can't fall asleep in the second because this defense allows 267 passing yards per game. They are 26th in the NFL. They give up about 118. They're right where the Broncos are. 118. Broncos, I think, allow 119. They give up 28 points per game. So this is where, as an offense, you have to start getting it right. Because the Raiders will let you beat them. Their defense is not that great. They don't create a lot either. This is not a very aggressive defense. They have 9 sacks total, 31st in the NFL. One guy has half of those, though, Max Crosby. It's been a monster for this team. He has 5, only 3 interceptions. So it's not an aggressive type defense. But they're gonna rely on this offense. Certainly, they're gonna rely on controlling the football game and getting their run game involved. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Shifting over to the Broncos, and there's certainly issues up and down the board. This whole Tom McMahon special teams coach. Hey, at least the Broncos have a special teams coach. Can you imagine Vic Fangio being the guy trying to figure out calling the right special teams calls? I mean, I don't know. That's tough. That's another example of I just don't believe that Vic is fit to be a head coach. And I like Vic Fangio. I like everything about the guy. I like his press conferences. I like his no-nonsense. I'm a big no-nonsense guy, Colfax. I am not a fan of nonsense. No, I don't like it. Get away from me with your nonsense. That's why I like Vic Fangio. I want him to succeed so badly, but I'm not on this show every day to tell you about things that I just want. I don't believe in him right now as a head coach. I'm seeing too many little decisions that... Sure, Monday morning quarterback, it's easy to go back and say these things, but man, when you're watching the games, they're just obvious. Kind of like with CSU last night. You know, you don't block number 26, Avery Williams. He blocked two punts in that game. He has 7 career special teams touchdowns. He is a monster. He's great. I'm using that word a lot, but he's one of those guys. So, I mean, that's an obvious thing. How many obvious issues has Vic Fangio had? I mean, Colfax. You're the head coach. If you're the head coach and I'm Tom McMahon and you know Brandon McManus can hit field goals, you know he can. And I say, hey, we're going to kick it. Your special teams coach comes up and says, nah, he wasn't look good in practice. He didn't look good in warmups. I mean, you as the head coach, you have to make that decision. And you don't. You let Tom McMahon make it. And then after the game, you throw Tom McMahon under the bus and say, well, it's his decision. That's not going to fly, even though, okay, you pay your special teams coordinator for his decision-making. He didn't feel comfortable with the field goal. Why? I don't know. Brandon McManus was comfortable with it, as you found out later. But Vic goes, all right, well, we'll have it your way. And then it doesn't work out, and he goes, oh, that's Tom McMahon's. He told me not to. That's not going to fly with an NFL head coach. And then Brandon McManus comes out later and says, I don't know what McMahon's talking about. I was firing on all cylinders. I was kicking and I looked good in warmups. And then he says, hashtag on Twitter, don't silence the players. And when Vic was asked about it, he kind of acted as if, yeah, he didn't really know. I haven't heard anything like that. So that's a tough spot. It's a big deal. First Advantage text line 31996-31996. Your thoughts on that one? I mean, this is just another example of a Vic not being able to make the right calls. I mean, McManus is now firing back at him on Twitter. Have you ever seen... This is a kicker, folks. You have an issue with a kicker not agreeing with the special teams coach, and Vic Fangio didn't make the decision, but now he's saying, I don't know anything about that. That's not good. And so what does that mean? Is, you know, Dixon likes to text in and say, hey, which coordinator is going to take the fall for Elway and Vic Fangio? Well, but Tom McMahon's probably next in line. Like, I don't agree with firing Pat Shurmur. I think you stay the course. You gotta let something stick for a while, but special teams, I mean... You either got it or you don't. And listen, have you guys seen anything to make you believe that special teams is really a strength of this team? I don't think so. But that's a bad deal. That's a bad look. And then you have all these other issues now. And now you have to worry about the kicker. That's a terrible situation for your coaching staff. When you got guys tweeting out, don't silence the players. Your kicker's doing this, man. What is up with that? That's not good. Then you have your other issues at right tackle. Is it going to be Calvin Anderson, the fifth now? He would be the fifth guy going into right tackle now. Elijah Wilkins will probably go next week, but you know, we won't know that for a little bit. Got to see how next week's practice goes. I think this has got to be a big game this week, regardless of all the injuries. You're seeing sample sizes of it now. Jerry Jeudy has to have a monster game. I talked about the Raiders and their pass defense, and they're not very good. So this is where I'm really hoping the Broncos have designed a few looks, a few, you know, even if it's that naked boot, even if it's the rollouts, you get Noah Fant, you get Jerry Jeudy big time involved in this game, because I think Judy's going to have another breakout game. I mean, he's been having them the last couple of weeks, and you're starting to see what maybe this guy can be. Utilize that talent. And so I look forward to him. I look forward to this run game. At some point, you got to get it right. I think Gordon has 96 carries for 393 yards. Lindsey is now catching him after missing two games this season. He has 310 yards. It's still not going to cut it for me. I gotta see this team go for it and really, really give Philip Lindsey, make the emphasis Philip Lindsey, and then secondary Melvin Gordon. So you get those guys involved, and then maybe something opens up downfield to Jerry Jeudy. But this is why I asked Zach, because all of us Broncos fans, we all have the right ideas, right? We all know what they need to do. Why aren't they running the ball more? Is it as simple as just saying, okay, instead of 8, we're going to guarantee that he's running it 15 times? It's not always as simple as that. Zach outlined some of the issues. Philip Lindsey can't catch. He can't block. So when he's in, you know, you take away two of the things that you might be using. And so when he's in there, defenses know, okay, Lindsey's going to run. They're going to run the ball here because they're not throwing it to him and he can't block. So do you agree with Zach? Say Zach Stevens, of course, DNVR Broncos, saying, hey, maybe you just show your hand and you just go, hey, we're lining up next to you. We know we're running. You know we're running. Let's see who wins this thing. I'm more or less inclined to believe that because I still think Philip Lindsey is going to be the guy that makes this team go. He makes this team tick. You build around him for the foreseeable future. And that should open up things downfield. Committing to the run game. It's why when you call it that, commitment to the run game. Don't undervalue that word commitment. When you commit to running the ball, that means even if you're down 14-0, you are not abandoning your game plan. And the Broncos do. They have. They have completely went away from that rushing attack by the time they get to the first. Check this out. Run game last week in the first half, in the very first half. Here's what you had in the first half of first down rushes. You ran the ball 3 times on first down. That's it. One was a 3-yard gain. The other was a -5. The other was 2. So in the first half, on first down, you ran the ball 3 times. I mean, that's not a commitment to the run game. So we'll see if the Broncos can really ramp that up a little bit because, I mean, that's the only way you're going to really defeat this team is the Broncos are not going to be this. As much as you want it to be, this Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick, Noah Fant, let's air it out, here we go. As much as you want that, Drew Lock can't handle it right now. Now, I keep saying baby him. Pat Shurmur doesn't like that. There's no such thing as babying in the NFL. Okay, fine. Whatever phrase you want to use, take your time, ease into it. You can call it whatever you want, but this was the idea from the get-go. We're going to throw all these weapons at Drew Lock, and he's just going to be so good that, he's going to have all these weapons. It's going to be easy for him. No, it's not the way it works. Not from what I've seen. Not many quarterbacks can adjust that quickly. It takes time. 18 minutes after the hour. Do want to thank a couple of our great sponsors. Windsor Mill Tavern this weekend is coming up. Stop by. Got fresh takes on classic shareable American food. Got the Bison Burger, handcrafted cocktails. You name it, Windsor Mill's got it, and it's a classy place. Maybe it's been a long week for you. You want to go relax. Stop by Windsor Mill Tavern. Tell them we sent you. Go to the underground garden-level tavern in the historic Windsor Mill. Also, Fresh Coat Painters South Platte. Get a free mini cooler just by calling the folks at Fresh Coat and a free painting quote, 970-414-4131. All right, when we come back, quickly, I'll look at Colorado and Stanford. Stanford, we don't know their quarterback. That's a theme this week. We never know who the quarterbacks are, Colfax. In college football, nobody knows. Is it going to be David Mills? Is it going to be Jack West or Tanner McKee? We don't know. We have no idea. So there you go, CU. But are we going to see repeat performances from guys like Sam Noyer, quarterback that was absolutely a monster, or Jarek Broussard? We'll find out. We'll talk about that next.
It's a party, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I don't think we've talked enough about Carl Durrell, the Colorado Buffaloes head coach. I mean, think about it. It was all this COVID stuff that happened, so it delayed everybody. So if you were a new coach like Steve Addazio for CSU, you're feeling like you're behind the eight ball a little bit. Well, imagine Carl Durrell. Before COVID hit, let me take you back on a journey. Mel Tucker was the guy. And so CSU's making their hire. They're getting Steve Addazio. UNC's making a huge splash. They hire Eddie Mack. And CU's like, you guys got to figure out a new coach. We like our guy, Mel Tucker. Everybody's really happy about him. He's going to no more tennis shoe league and all this stuff. We're going to be tough. And everybody's really excited and buying in. And Tucker won his last game. And so, okay, yeah, this team's going to be legit. And then the rumors start. Michigan State come calling. ML Tucker tweets out, no, I am so dedicated to this team. I'm never leaving Colorado. I'm here forever. And he's actually at a booster event. Thank you for all your support. I'm here, ready to do some work. Then the next day, bam, we were scheduled to have him on that Monday. And I never tweeted him, but I wish I would have. Hey, we still on for Monday? Guessing you'll be calling from the plane. Or maybe Michigan State. Maybe you're already there. So then, obviously, you're in a bad situation. The Buffs get way behind the eight ball. They have to hire well behind. And that was the timing. People got mad at me, too, on Twitter. Oh, he took it because it was an upgrade for him and more money. How can you blame that man? I'm not blaming the man. I'm blaming the way it all went down and the timing of it all. Don't tweet out. You're negotiating. He was negotiating, Colfax. He was tweeting crap out so that he could better help his negotiation. Come on, you're messing with kids now. You're messing with these student athletes. You're messing with people's lives. So you make the late hire. You go with Carl Durrell, formerly of UCLA, and he's way behind the eight ball. And then COVID hits. So he's already late to the game. CSU has their guy. UNC has their guy. CU just now gets their guy, and then COVID hits. So, boom, you're already in a tough spot there. Plus, you're replacing your superstars from a year ago. Steven Montez, Laviska Shenault. I mean, those guys made the Buffs go for the last few years. I mean, they're both in the NFL, and they're both doing some decent things in the NFL. So you got to replace all that stuff. And by the way, you never know what's going to happen in the Pac-12. Cancellations are pouring in like crazy. Yet, game one, I don't think there was any expectations on the Buffs this year. I certainly didn't have any. And you found a way to beat a Chip Kelly team. And I know that Chip Kelly hasn't been, Oregon version of Chip Kelly while he's at UCLA. But still, Carl Durrell wins his first game in the Pac-12, or in the Pac-12 this season. But his first game as head coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. They win 48-42. And it was, I think the defense is going to be better. I think they're going to be the strength of this team. You know, we had a wonderful conversation with Darion Rakestraw, who forced two fumbles. We had him on the show the other day. You know, he even said it. He's like, we made big plays. We were active on defense. But the reason they were able to get back in that game and score 21 points in the third, we're just out of position. That's stuff that we can correct. And you're seeing that more at an all-time high right now. You know, defense is just out of position, out of place. So I look for a lot of that to get corrected, but I'm really, really excited about that offense. Sam Neuer, 20 for 31, the quarterback that went to safety, went back to quarterback, 257, one touchdown, just a nice game for him. But the story was Jarek Broussard. I mean, he's one of the only running, I mean, in a long list of great, great running backs for CU. Not many of them have done what Jarek Broussard did. 31 carries, 187 yards, 3 touchdowns in that game. So, yeah, to say they're excited about him is an understatement. They ran for a team 264 yards last week, and they love their tight end, Brady Russell, 5 receptions, 77 yards, and a touchdown. I'm curious to see what this offense turns into, because if you just look at the stats, and if you watch that game, they're going to commit to running the ball, and they're going to get that tight end involved. Why not? Brady Russell was involved last year, too, so he's a standout. But I love that number even more than the 187 and 3 touchdowns. I love 31 carries. That is what you call a workhorse in college football. And when you can get a running back that you believe in enough to give the ball 31 times to, man, you're going to do some special things. So we'll see if they can keep that going. Stanford, on the other hand, they can run the ball, and they ran the ball last week, but without their quarterback, David Mills, who is a good quarterback. Yeah, I don't know what more you expected, but we still don't know if he's going to go in this game against CU. Again, it's college football. We never know who the quarterback is. Come on. I hate that, don't you? Just let us know. Is it really give you an advantage overall? I can't think that it does, but clearly I'm not at that level. I'm not coaching at that level. I'm not coaching at any level, to be quite frank with you, Colfax. But yeah, I find it more annoying than anything. But that's going to be the deal. They had to keep players out of this thing. I mean, it's not just injuries, it's COVID. Saw this story this morning. The Pac-12 apologized to the Stanford football team Friday after an inconclusive COVID-19 test led to multiple players, including their starting quarterback, Davis Mills, missing the Cardinals' season opening loss to Oregon. During Pac-12 game day testing this past Saturday, there were testing protocol errors with respect to a Stanford student-athlete who tested positive for COVID-19. Pac-12 said in a statement, the student-athlete and others who were immediately identified as individuals who would be a high-risk contacts if the student-athlete were positive did not play in the game in accordance with Pac-12 protocols. Student-athletes were immediately isolated. The player who received the inconclusive test was Mills, according to a conference source, their star quarterback. Stanford, without naming Mills, said the player who received the inconclusive test had repeatedly tested negative for COVID-19. So you read that. Does that mean he's going to play then? I would imagine he's going to play, which, is going to be a tall order between for this Colorado Buffaloes team. First Advantage text line 31996. So this just in, too, just refreshing the story, all four players will be available to play against Colorado on Saturday. So all those players that just missed the game because of a false positive are playing. So you will see Davis Mills play for Stanford, and that changes things for Stanford. But, hey, stranger things have happened. See if that Colorado offense or defense can stand up to Davis Mills being back. He's going to be chomping at the bit. 32 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a look around the NFL, my top three games outside of Broncos Raiders, and then we'll finish up with more Broncos Raiders preview. I still have my three keys to the game, three keys to victory for Denver. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Check out our game beer of the week from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont at On the Rocks Liquor, Palisade Peach Wheat. You can pick up selections from Left Hand or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru, open until midnight every single night at On the Rocks Liquor, or you can stop by the lobby 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., but if you'd rather not go in, whatever. You want to play it safe and stop by the drive-thru. They're open until midnight. Also, I want to tell you about at On the Rocks, Molly Brown Spirits from Denver. If I can spit that out, Colfax, wow. Molly Brown Spirits from Denver, bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey, available only at On the Rocks Liquor. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Something cool going on later this afternoon between two of our Block Party Wednesday shows. The Nerd Show and Brew Talk, Colfax, are having a video game challenge. Noco Mobile Gaming. They bring the party to you. It's in a trailer. They have the TV set up. They have all the video game consoles in there. Brew Talk, in a very silly thing for them to do, challenged the Nerd Show to a video game challenge.
Not a smart move.
Not a
Cotton.
Smart move from the beer drinkers. You know, I very much looking forward to this. I'm going up against Tanner. The best matchup. So Chad's going up against Farley on the Nerd Show. The best matchup of all is going to be Michael Kirkpatrick representing the Nerd Show, taking on Doc of Doc Mosier of Brew Talk.
What's the game? Or is it?
I think those two are playing Tetris.
Oh. Going classic. My money's on Doc, then.
Yeah. Michael's been staying up late about this. He's very scared.
He's been practicing?
I doubt it. I'm playing Tanner in Madden.
Okay.
So obviously I'll win that.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, I'm just going to call better plays and execute. And if I kick the ball, I will block a guy that's trying to block my kicks and my punts. I will not take notes from Steve Adazio. And then we're going to play an Ultimate Fighter game, too. So how hard can that be? Punching and kicking, man. I'm going to get him down. Just get him down, beat him up. That's my plan. I don't know what Chad and Farley are playing, though. So
interesting.
Yeah. So they're bringing it out here, right out the station, right out front. We're going to sit in there and play, and it should be a good time.
Can't wait.
No Como game is really cool, actually. I love that business. And they're popping over here, and the trash talk is beginning. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Football Friday continues here. Rough go between Colorado State and Boise State last night. How you feeling about this team? Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. How many games are the Rams going to win, you know, rest of the season? They got four left. Go vote at theholeshow.com. Tanner's on. Tanner Schwint. NoCo Now.
NoCo Now, Brew Talk. Brady, look, you can't just start taking shots when we're not there, okay? That's not how this works.
I assumed you were listening because everybody's listening. So I just assumed you were listening.
Absolutely. I was one of the people listening here, one of the millions.
One of them sitting next to my grandma, right? Okay.
But let me say this. You guys just assume we're just a bunch of beer-drinking jocks.
I do.
On Brew Talk.
I don't know if I assume the jock part, but I definitely assume the beer-drinking part.
Well, that's a safe assumption. But I will say that I think that we've got a little bit more gaming in us than you think, okay? And I can't speak for the other guys. I mean, those are kind of wild cards, what Chad and Doc can do. But I can guarantee you one thing. I'm going to be Boise State, and you're going to be CSU when it comes to the final score of our Madden game.
No.
You're going down bad. And we played this game a lot, Brady, and it never works out well for you.
It works out.
And then we're playing UFC. And we're playing UFC, and that's my wheelhouse. I mean, you don't even know any of the UFC fighters.
Oh,
you don't
know all of them.
I love UFC. So you're going down there. You know, the Madden game's not even going to be close. It'll probably be a running clock. But do they do running clocks in Madden? They should. You're going to need one here. But, yeah, I mean, if you're just going to take shots at us, I figured the Brew Talk needed to defend itself here.
You guys take shots, but it's more like, tasters of beer and stuff.
Which, that's the thing. I need you to know this. If we start falling behind early, like if I'm not playing real well, we may have to take a beer break because we're not as comfortable without a beer beside us. We perform best with a beer.
Chad's like the modern-day Popeye. Instead of spinach, he drinks beer, and he becomes stronger and better at everything. So that's what we got to be worried about. If he starts drinking beer, that's going to be a scary thing.
Yeah, I agree. It is a scary thing for you, but I'm really glad he's on my side. And I'm also glad it's not a physical competition because I would be winded in the first 30 seconds. So I think the gaming aspect of it it bodes well for us. And I think Farley's going to be fun. He's going to be the wild card.
What are they playing?
I don't have it in front of me right now. It's a couple of games that I had not heard of before.
I just know that Doc and Farley are playing Tetris, and that's going to be riveting.
Right. So I think that is going to be riveting. I think it's Chad and Farley, and then I think it's Micah and Doc that are going head to head. So the matchups are interesting for sure.
Yeah, it should be fun. Noob just texted, hey, say, remember Tanner was an All-State quarterback. I forgot about that. You were an All-State quarterback.
Right. Yeah, and that was before I started drinking beer, and I lost all that ability after I started drinking beer and hosting Brew Talk. So I had to hang up the cleats and then grab a controller. So my offensive play calling is, if Pat Shurmur gets ran out of town, I'm up next.
Well, you could probably go be the special teams coordinator because they don't have one at Colorado State. So I think
I've already sent in my resume.
Is there or something? But all right, Tanner, you will lose.
All right, man.
Good luck in losing.
Well, we will see about that. But I had to defend myself. Great show, man. We'll see you who's going to win here in a bit.
All right. Great job, Tanner. Yeah, you're doing great. Oh, he's going down so bad, Colfax. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. It's going to be fun. No co-mobile gaming. Great stuff. Okay, Colfax, I'm going to look at my games in the NFL outside of Broncos Raiders, so let's get right to it here. Big games all around. Getting close, at the halfway point of the season, and we're going to start seeing some teams separate. One of the games I have my eye on, Buccaneers, Panthers. Panthers are 3-6. They lose last week. The Bucs get absolutely throttled by the Saints last week. This is why I've got my eye on this game. How will Tommy B and the rest of this Tampa Bay team respond after getting shut out? We said this is going to be a big moment for the Bucs. They're either going to curl up and they're going to die, and we're going to see finally Tom Brady shrivel, which that wants to be the narrative from the national media. They want to see Tommy B go, but I'm not there yet. Bucks are favored by 5.5, by the way. So Bucks, Panthers, that game's an interesting one for me. Then we move along. Bills, Cardinals. The Bills are 7-2. Josh Allen is having a fantastic year, 19 touchdowns. But don't look, Kyler Murray, he is kind of the silent MVP. I don't think anybody's necessarily putting him up there, but he has been really fun to watch, really good. His passing's been solid, but he's ran for 543 yards and 8 touchdowns. He can move so much better than I think we even thought. You know, watching him in college, you thought, okay, how's that going to transition to the NFL? Very nicely. So that game's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that one. Bills, Cardinals on that one. How about this? I was torn between Seahawks, Rams, 49ers, Saints, but I got to pick three. And I like the Seahawks-Rams game. I think that one's going to be a great one. Rams are actually favored in this one by 1.5. Seattle, Russell Wilson, did he lose his edge in the MVP race? We're going to see how he responds to this one. But Russell Wilson has had a very nice season as well, 28 touchdowns. I still think Patrick Mahomes is the MVP at this stage, but Russell needs another bounce-back game. And should be a fun NFL weekend coming up. All right, Colfax, when we come back, I'll give you my finishing thoughts on Broncos Raiders. I'll give you my three keys to victory, what the Broncos need to do to save their season against their arch nemesis, the Las Vegas Raiders. 46 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. Anything about a touch of football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. 1, 2, 3.
I found the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play.
Thank you for answering the prayers that I've stolen.
Where are we
what
at
about this time? What about this crime? Let's get the ball rolling.
You're the best in the United States of America tonight.
We're going to get our whole team's best, and it starts with me. They're going to get my best this week. This is the way I'm feeling.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Football Friday coming to a close yet again, Colfax, and unfortunately it started off our post-game chat talking about a dismal performance by Colorado State last night, especially on the special teams front. They got UNLV next Saturday. That's one of the winnable games there, so our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is up. How many games do you think Colorado State's going to win? As for the Buffaloes, excited for that one from Stanford, but looks like they will have their quarterback, Davis Mills, in the mix because of a COVID snag in the system, 4 false positives, and they're all cleared. So they missed a game last week because of a false positive. That's It's got to be frustrating. I'm excited. I don't know if CU wins, though. I mean, before we get the quarterback news, maybe, but Stanford got worked by Oregon, but Oregon's really, really good. So I don't see that happening. I don't see the Buffs doing it, but I didn't necessarily think the Buffs were going to beat UCLA last week, and that wasn't because I think UCLA's good. I just have no idea what to expect with the Buffs. Let's see what game two looks like. How about the Broncos, Colfax? Keys to victory for Denver. This guy is getting better every single game. The trends for Jerry Jeudy are going up. He went from a 20-yard game against the Chiefs, 73-yard game against the Chargers, and now 125-yard game against the Falcons. 7 receptions and a touchdown in that one. So Jerry Jeudy's going to be key in this game because the Raiders, have I called them the Oakland Raiders yet? I'm not sure. I think I've been okay about that today. The Las Vegas Raiders, they are 26th in the NFL against the pass. So this is where I don't want to see it start off this way. I don't want to see Drew Lock and Jerry Jeudy just try to get into his early rhythm fast. I want to see the slow progression into running the ball, working with Noah Fant, getting the tight end game going, and then bam, you lure them to sleep. And you get them, you lull them to sleep, and you get a deep throw to Jerry Jeudy a couple of times in this game. Maybe you can get some mismatches there. So I like Jerry Jeudy in this one. I think he's a key to victory as the game progresses. I mean, it's not one of those where I want to see it early on and you're forcing the issue, just trying to get him involved. But I do think that he's going to come up big in that second half. Second key to victory, the run block. You're on your 5th right tackle, but Graham Glasgow is back. So you have your interior that's the strongest. So I need to see Dalton Reisner and Graham Glasgow really pick up the pace and creating some space for Phillip Lindsay, for Melvin Gordon. I want to see Pat Shurmur and company force the issue and make sure Lindsay, I don't care how it works. I don't care how you have to do it. I got to see 15 carries from him. If you lose with 15 carries, then at least we're not complaining about that on Monday. Give Phillip Lindsay the football. Number 3, and I'm going to put all the pressure in the world on the first quarter. I've seen Drew Lock in the 4th. Is it against a prevent defense? I don't know, but they find ways to score touchdowns. So I need to see the first quarter. You can't come up empty. Whether it's letting Brandon McManus kick a field goal and he dukes it out with Tom McMahon on the side, or you get a touchdown early, you can't come up empty in the first quarter. I got to have 3. Would rather a touchdown, but you can't go scoreless in that first quarter, or I don't like the way that this game's going to progress. That's going to do it for us. I like the Broncos winning this thing. I'm going to go 27-21. Denver stays alive in the playoff hunt. Good night, Northern Colorado.